All right, now we're recording. Well, Father Stephen, if you can help us by starting us with prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art ever and fills all things, treasure of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us and cleanse us from every impurity and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 How many of you have had an opportunity to listen to the last four studies or have been present? Raise your hand if you have. You can raise it virtually or physically if I can see you. I was there, and I've heard the recording too. All right. Good. Some of you who have not been there, I'm going to recommend if you get a chance to listen to those four recordings, the last four recordings. They were St. John Cassian conferences. We were in conference one, and we went into it with many, many different saints and examples and incredible discussions, which I really appreciate. Today, we're starting St. John Cassian Conference two. And with that, we have a really important question to ask everyone to see if you can answer this. There is one necessary gift. This one necessary gift that St. John Cassian and Abba Moses and St. Gerasim are talking about, we're going to cover today. And I really want you to think about what this one necessary gift is. But before I do, I'm going to give you a quick summary of what we touched on in the last four lessons. Basically, the ultimate end goal, the telos of our lives, is the kingdom of heaven, salvation, becoming like Christ, experiencing theosis, having a vision of God, being transformed to become like Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate end goal. Our immediate goal, according to Abba Moses and the scriptures, is purity of heart. In order to attain that, we want to focus on purity of heart. Everything we do, whether we are fasting or in prayer, divine liturgy, working, everything in our lives is to help us achieve, they're tools to help us achieve purity. If we mistake the tool for the goal, then we've got it upside down and we need to get it back to the way it's supposed to be. And we walked with Jesus as he had Mary and Martha in the room, and Mary was sitting at his feet, quietly listening to him, being still, knowing he is God, and connecting with him. And Martha was anxious about many things in the world. We, in the last four sessions, talked about how we can make sure we work everything we need to get done, but we're always abiding still. We're making sure that we enter into the stillness of God, what we call Hesychia. This is a very important gift for us to have.
Anthony,
Yes.
hey, can you let David in?
David in.
Number
Okay, let
one.
me see if I can
Sorry, I didn't mean to
find him.
interrupt.
Let's see if I can. Okay, I might need to stop him to let. Oh, I see two more waiting.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. Well, if that happens, then that's. Sai also was able to join us.
Cool. All right, carry on.
We're going to go back into the screen mode. So with this, we talked about 1 minute exercises to strengthen our hearts with Hezekiah. And I gave two different options of how you can practice 1 minute per day to open your heart, to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be saved by grace through this active faith in the midst of all our struggles. Who remembers those two options? Can you share one of them? If you can, raise your hand and I'll call on you. Evan, John, please
Yeah.
share one
So,
of them.
well, one I remember is like the breathing technique, which can be done in different ways, but like one way you taught is like by sitting and kind of sort of contorting your chest and then just like breathing and praying while you breathe, more or less. That's what I got out of it.
Okay. And what is the prayer that you're saying?
Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, or something like that.
Okay, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me is the most popular form that I've seen. And there's also Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, if you want a longer form. There is just Lord, have mercy. What we're trying to do is exalt the name of Jesus Christ. As we exalt his name and we connect our thoughts into our heart, we are being still and knowing that he is God. In that moment, we're entering the presence of God, acknowledging him, and purposefully saying, I don't want to hear anything else at this moment. For 1 minute, I just want to focus on the Lord. The Lord asked the apostles, can you be with me, pray with me for 1 hour? And they fell asleep. So I'm asking for 1 minute a day, just 1 minute, devote yourself. And one of the techniques are not as important, but it is good to try, see which one is working for you for right now. This is recorded in the Philokalia, many writings of the Desert Fathers. For 2,000 years, we've had this practice. One of them is, as Evan was sharing, we bow down our head towards our heart. We move all of our thoughts into our heart. We're focused on him, exalting the name of Christ, and allowing the energy of God, the grace of God, to flow in us as we cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. We're exalting him. And any thought, logismi, any thought that comes at us, whether it is good thought, bad thought, whether it is, somebody just made a noise out there, and whether it is I'm thinking of something I need to do for my spouse or for my children, maybe something for church right now is, nope, not right now. I'm just going to focus on Jesus Christ. I'm going to focus and I'm going to abide in the Holy Trinity. I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit to enter the presence and have communion with the Holy Trinity, privately, alone with God. And we mentioned this that you can also do this anywhere. You can be in a parking lot. You can just sit there and just pray. You can be standing, waiting, as Ruth was sharing, waiting to pick up your children for an hour from school. And you say, let me just wait. In this hour, maybe I can devote 1 minute to just pray, focusing on the Lord. And as you practice 1 minute at a time, hopefully you'll develop this experience of God, and you'll say, maybe I can do, sometimes I can do 2 minutes or 3 minutes and so forth. So that's one way. What's the other way? Do you remember? Who remembers the other way? I'm looking to see if you're raising your hand, either virtually or physically. Do you remember the other way?
Are you referring to the breathing technique?
That one we covered.
I'm sorry.
What was the other one?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Eric.
I believe the other one you're referring to is saying something like
Standing in front of the icon, yes. And I believe Siloam had that too. So standing in front of an icon. And I said just the icon of Jesus Christ would be an example, could be an icon of a patron saint, an icon of the Holy Theotokos. And you're just standing before this icon or sitting before that icon. And just as you're beholding the icon, you're opening yourself to the window to heaven. We're not worshiping an icon. We're not worshiping a piece of wood. That is idolatry. The church completely forbids that. It is unhealthy for us. It destroys our soul. We don't do that. We are coming before the icon as a remembrance of that person. And as we're entering his presence, a holy grace comes between us and God, connecting us to God. And we're just saying, I'm going to focus right now. Somebody else might grab a picture of a friend or family member. They might have a flag they salute to, and that for that moment they're just focusing as they're chanting maybe a hymn in for their national anthem. Well, we're saying to the Lord, I'm just going to focus on you right now, or on the person who was faithful to you, and I'm going to ask for the grace of God to enter into me as I exalt the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to just put out everything else. I'm going to make sure that nothing else is distracting me at that moment. So, 2 ways, 1 minute. Does that make sense? Easy enough? All right. So, you can try that. Then, the last time I said, for those who've been doing this 1 minute each, I said, here's what I want you to try now. I want you to try set up a baseline. There's a struggle in focusing, and it's hard. That's okay. The struggle is good. The struggle is good. The struggle is not bad. It's not, oh, I shouldn't be struggling. I shouldn't be distracted. No, that's normal life. The struggle is good. It is the way that we draw near to God is with the struggle, not apart from the struggle. We don't deny it. We enter into God's presence. And we do this by setting a baseline. I said, take one day a week, maybe if you're off on a Saturday, maybe in an evening, whenever you can, just one day a week, and put a timer and see how long can you focus on the Lord. And as you get distracted, you come back to focus. Get distracted, focus. As long as you're in the struggle, keep the timer going. And you can also make a variety of this. Sometimes stand before the icon, sometimes sit down and breathe. Just a combination. You're just, the purpose is I'm trying to be still and know that He is God. Enter into His presence. Experience heaven on earth and me entering into heaven, God connecting with me. As God was incarnated in Christ Jesus, I want Him to be incarnated in me. I want Christ to be in me and I want to connect to Him above all else. So as we do this, I want you to grab that timer just one time a week, just one time. I just want you to do this one time. Said, I'm going to grab a timer, see how long I can keep this going. Maybe I can go for an hour. If I can go for 1 hour, struggle back and forth, then I know that's a baseline of what I can do. I can focus for 1 hour, struggle to focus on the Lord for 1 hour. Now that gives me a baseline. And then I said, take about 30% of that and try to do that on a daily basis. If it's an hour, maybe I'll say, can I focus on the Lord for 20 minutes a day? So if I can do an hour, 20 minutes should be a lot easier, 30% of that. So I now do 20 minutes, and as I do, enter His presence just for 20 minutes a day. Then I will review that baseline maybe a month later, and I'll say, look at how much I can do now. Maybe you'll notice you can now do 1 hour and 10 minutes. Maybe you can do 1 hour and 20 minutes, but that's not the focus for 20 minutes. I'm going to try whatever my baseline is. If the maximum of your baseline was 12 minutes, then do 4 minutes a day. Right? This is an exercise, and kind of just like the way you do exercise in the gym. Your coach might tell you, hey, set up a baseline and then work below that baseline and slowly build up your internal stamina, internal strength to focus on the Lord, especially in the midst of all the distractions that we got going with social media, texts, phone calls, emails, all the needs that people have, all the driving we have to do. In the midst of all these distractions, we want to be still and know that He is God. Psalm 46:10. Hezekiah, practice this. Enter the presence of God and watch as the grace of God works in your life. Watch what happens for the rest of your day. Watch how you're able to be still in the midst of other struggles and just trust the Lord no matter what. Like Job, you want to get to the place where you're crying, though you slay me, Lord, I will trust you. I want to come to a place of trust. And this is a practice, an exercise, and that will help you to get there. It's been proven, by the way, with many, 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 many thousands of saints. So this is not something I'm making up out of thin air and coming up with some idea of my own. I'm just telling you what I've studied in the lives of the saints for probably 17 years now. What I've seen emphasized over and over and over and over. So many saints is try to practice the presence of God, exalt the name of Christ, and enter into His presence. And as you do, and the grace of God works in you, you will find that by grace through trust, you are delivered. That's Ephesians 2:8. By grace through faith, I am saved, not of works that merit. My works is not, I'm going to do all this so I can earn something. No, I'm going to do this because I just want to be still and know that He is God. I just want to make myself available to Him. That's it. I want His grace in my life. So now that we've reviewed that, what are some of your initial thoughts on that we've covered so far as I give you a summary of the first four lessons? What are some thoughts that you might have? Or what has been some of your experiences for those who have tried this?
I'll go ahead and share my experience.
Yes, go for it, Eric.
So I've actually kind of integrated both into my prayer sessions. I like to start, by candlelight in my prayer corner, sitting and doing the breathing techniques. I use kind of like the medium version, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I breathe in, I hold it, and I breathe out. So I say it three times in each sequence. And then I don't time myself anymore. I just kind of do it as long as what feels right. And then if I start losing my thoughts and my thoughts start taking over, then I just open my eyes and I have my icon sitting right in front of me. I'm able to regain focus and then go back into it. But I found it to be extremely peaceful.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else you want to share your experience or your thoughts about what has been shared? Have you heard about this Orthodox practice the Holy Spirit has gifted us with in the traditions that you've been raised in? Yeah. Me neither. I've spent a lot of time reading a lot of books. Now, every now and then, there's a few people that are starting to tap into this, trying to bring into this church. I actually taught this at one point to a very large mega church, 5,000 member church, and I had many of the Bible study people there, many of the Bible study leaders, and they were very thankful for it. It was mostly a Southern Baptist church, but they loved the idea. It's like, wow. And many of them start practicing it. And then they would come to me a year later and say, wow, that's really making a difference in my life. So, and you really exalting the name of Christ in this way is a blessing. And I remember asking a priest from Mount Athos, who is now a bishop of Alaska, I said, what do you say about those who maybe are not Orthodox yet practicing this? Is that dangerous? He goes, why would it be? You're exalting the name of Christ. How could that be dangerous? I go, okay, then we'll do it. Saya, you had a comment or question?
Comment. So I was sorry I didn't comment earlier. My kids were being loud. But I was gonna say I have been trying the shorter kind of 1 minute Lord Jesus have mercy breathing one, and that has really been changing the way that I pray.
Yes.
And to just comment on your last question about whether I knew about this type of thing or not, and I had no idea. And I was raised in the church, in the non-denomination Pentecost leaning church.
Yes.
But I was always very confused about how to pray because it seemed like I just wasn't doing it right, or like I wasn't saying the right things, and my prayers didn't seem, I was always very confused my entire life about how am I actually supposed to pray. And I guess the way that I'm doing it is not like the way that other people are doing it. And so there was just no guidance, even though everyone was saying, you gotta pray, you gotta pray. I'm like, well, how do I pray? So I actually really love even just the simplicity of this, the Jesus prayer, and how to use it, and how it really is like a whole mind and body connection thing. And
Yes.
so yeah, I'm very grateful to be learning about it.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. And Evan.
I was struggling to remember the name, but I have remembered something similar to this, like Anglicans have done. It's called Lectio Divina.
Okay, yes.
It's kind of like this, but it's also like meshed with like reading scripture.
Yes.
And I don't think they specifically use like the Jesus prayer or anything, or the breathing technique, but it's like the closest thing that I could think of when it comes to this. But like specifically that combined with the breathing technique, I think as far as I'm concerned, that's very much unique to like Orthodoxy and like the Eastern tradition.
Yes. Okay, great. Okay, last comment or question, Tom.
This is my first time here at the Bible study, but I had kind of gotten into or interested in Orthodox through social media, believe it or not. And
Yes.
that the Jesus prayer, the long version, I was or had seen if you feel yourself certain temptations or things like that, to say, kind of say it over and over again, and that will kind of clear your mind, so to speak. And I've found that helpful. I didn't know that there was a like a an official technique or anything like that, but I was it was interesting to hear that that's kind of something that's taught. But I
Excellent.
found it certainly helpful in just every day, just the how loud the world can be, just kind of bring yourself back to down to earth, I guess.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. And I wanted to move to the study, but Father Stephen had a comment or question, so
I have a
he
quick
gets
comment.
priority. Okay.
I got a quick comment. I also wanted, just because being the priest of all of you, I wanted to also comment that throughout the Divine Liturgy, this same exact mindset of that stillness is very much in the prayers. The cherubic hymn is always my best example of that. Let us who mystically represent the cherubim now lay us out the cares. Now, the church is commanding us to put away those things, those worldly thoughts, the inner noise. Receive Christ, receive the King of all. Even further on that, during Holy Week on Holy Saturday, you might notice that that prayer changes at the St. Basil liturgy to be silent all mortal flesh, or let all mortal flesh keep silent and in fear and trembling stand. And it's the one time the deacon gets the easy one. He just has to say, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. No, he has a different one. Sorry, that's Holy Thursday. That's one of those. It doesn't matter. But the idea is this stillness is very much in our services. We say, let us attend that we may, offer the holy oblation in peace. Let us stand aright. Let us stand with fear. Let us attend. We're very much honed in on this still. Focus on the stillness. Let Christ work through you. Don't worry about all the other stuff going around you. It's essentially, I mean, I always like to approach it like it's Hezekiah in liturgical form. You're standing before God in fear of God with attention and peace. That's just the one thing I wanted to comment to
Beautiful,
what you were
beautiful.
saying.
Very powerful.
I reclaim my time now.
Thank you for sharing. Well, we've got about 15 more minutes. I want to make sure I get into a little bit of today's study. That's fine. We've got four lessons on conference two that I want to share. But I really appreciate what you, and really, if you've got other comments, drop emails, let me know, because I want to make sure that we get to share those. If you have questions, drop emails. And we want to make sure that we answer. You can drop an email, usually copy Father Stephen and myself, and one of us will respond. Usually Father Stephen responds within 30 seconds to a minute, and I'll respond within 3 days if needed. So let's try this portion of the study now. Hopefully everybody can still, let's see if we've got the picture of everyone showing. Let's try and move that out. I'll go back to the slides and share again. Okay. So now that we have that baseline of the first four lessons, and again, go and listen to them. I believe many have shared this great blessing. They're available on YouTube and all the podcast channels. And you just go to savannahorthodox.com, look up Adult Bible Study. And there'll be a section there for you to listen. And with that, I want to share with today's lesson. I want to see if you can think about this one divine gift, one necessary gift that's so important that can cause us to either lose our salvation, lose our experience of God eternally. If we don't have this one gift, or it can lo cause us to have great stillness, great presence, not to, how to enter into Hezekiah, how to not just practice Jesus' prayer, but to how to live our lives. And I'm going to try to share some examples of even monks who have had every gift of the Holy Spirit possible, but they lost this one gift and they lost everything, according to Abba Moses. In St. John Cassian conferences, he shares these. So for us to be sober-minded about how important this one gift is. And in the next few lessons, I'm hoping we'll also get into how applying this with what the Holy Scripture talks about, what the guidance of the fathers, the Holy Spirit-filled, and church teachers have taught us for 2,000 years, how it helps us to develop balance and a connection and an important gift that is often missed. And if missed, it either will lead us to Calvinist, Baptist, Roman Catholic, rationalism, or Roman or Pentecostal emotionalism or other off balances if we're missing this one gift. But if we are able to abide in this gift, then we're able to help to synergize, to work with the Holy Spirit, work out our salvation with awe and trembling, and towards purity of heart, which leads to partaking of the divine nature that Second Peter talks about, experiencing theosis. Now, I want you to think about what that one gift is in your mind, that one gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you're thinking, see if we come close to this. The word is diakrisis. Diakrisis. That's the gift of discretion or moderation. Who would have thought that moderation and having discernment and discretion would be the one necessary gift that will help us to become more like Christ or lose it all? Now, before you listen to this, I want you to think about this is not meant to be as here's a rule for you to do. Or you go to hell, like some people say, stupidly. I mean, that's not the idea. The idea is not that. The idea is an invitation to experience the freedom of the Lord. The royal road that's narrow that our Lord told us is not because God is being stingy and he said, I can only give a narrow road for you to come. But rather is because if it's like the road to apart from him, the road to hell, the road to Hades, the road to not experience this heaven is so wide and is full of wreckage of sincere souls who lack the gift of discernment and moderation. They go to one extreme or another. And we want to think about Abba Moses, Saint John Cassian, and the Desert Fathers to be standing at that road, the entrance of the narrow road, holding a lantern for us. And not as judges, but as guides. They're saying, come, walk here. It is safe. It is peace. It is the way to the kingdom of God. We've been there. We are there now. And we want you to join us. And one of the verses along this thought that they shared was from Proverbs 4:26 in the Septuagint. Make a straight path for your feet, and all your ways will be sure. A straight path. This path of moderation, it is very important because without discretion, even if we're strictly fasting, we're about to enter a season of fasting again, even if we're having all-night vigils, we can end up shipwreck. The eyes of the soul, that ophthalmos of the soul, must be healthy. Otherwise, the whole body becomes full of darkness. Discretion is the guard of hope that helps us to stay in the faith. In St. John Cassian's conferences says, discretion is not only the light of the body, but also called the sun by the apostle when he said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Discretion is that light that will help us in every way possible. When Paul is he says, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, and this is the word, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid, the governor that was not in the faith. He got afraid and he went a different, got distracted. But he was saying, Paul is saying, calling us back to that self-control. This self-control, this ingratia, means mastery over oneself, power over one's passions and instincts. It comes from the word en in kratos, strength, dominion. In strength, literally, strength within. The virtue is essential. This virtue of the Holy Spirit is essential for purity of the heart and for us to experience that goal of theosis. And what I want you to realize that true self-mastery as a gift from God is a gift of the Holy Spirit and not a product of my ego. It's not something I can just force myself into, but it is actually a gift of God, of the Holy Spirit. This gift of moderation is when he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Abba Moses is teaching us that this gift is not an earthly thing, but is the greatest prize of divine grace. Moderation is not that we're absence of the passion, but we are entering an ordered presence in the midst of the passions. Without the Spirit's gifts, even the most determined will collapses. And the scriptures also tells us women likewise must be big, dignified, not slanderers, but temperate, faithful in all things. That temperate, that's sophrosyne, is a soundness of mind, a wise moderation. While ingratia emphasizes mastery, sophrosyne emphasizes wholeness. A mind that is saved, sane, and sober. This temperate path, this sophrosyne, heals the desiring part of the soul and restores balance. Now, I want to give you an example of what happens when you don't have this. And Abba Moses shared this. He gave the example of an old man, Heron, and Heron. For 50 years, he had been the most strict ascetic on the planet. He was following every way of orthodoxy and he was being so hard on himself. However, he isolated himself from everybody else to the point that even when Easter was coming around, he would refuse to join Pascha celebrations because he said, No, I want to be very holy. I want to have nothing distracting me. So he was all alone. And in that, he lacked discretion. Demon disguised as an angel of light drew near to him and slowly started guiding him away. And no matter who would tell him that no, you're excessive in your abstinence, he would say, no, I'm not excessive. I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. And even when the demon finally tricked him to jump into the well, the deep well to prove how he was being kept by the Lord. He says, jump in and God will take care of you. Unlike the Lord, when Satan told him that, he jumped in. And this excessive abstinence without moderation led to pride, deception, and destruction. When other monks finally found him, they tried to save him. Even when they brought him out of the well, when he was dying, in those final hours, he still refused to repent and receive in humility, repentance, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to discern that what had been done to him was of the devil trying to call him away from God. So asceticism without this gift of the Holy Spirit can become a subtle idol of the ego. When you're entering the church, when you're reading, going to YouTube, listening to a lot of stuff. When you are hearing everybody talking about, oh, let me give you this church father, this church father, this church father, they'll give you various quotes, and you'll try to, oh, great, I'm going to be only 1 hour of sleep, like St. John Chrysostom was, and I'm just going to have only 1 hour of sleep. I'm going to hold myself tight. I'm going to memorize the scripture for 6 years that way. And you're going to say, I can do that too. You're going to find yourself falling. So one of the first things you do when you get these thoughts, when you hear these things, one of the ways that you can get discernment is call Father Stephen. Call your spiritual father. Said, I'm getting this thought. Should I do it? And he'll probably say, hell no. No, he might not say that. He might say, well, let me hear you out. And then he'll say, no way. No. Or he
He'll
might
say,
say, well,
why did
listen.
you bother me during hockey, David?
So you want to be able to listen to a spiritual father, someone wise, someone apart from yourself, someone who is not just gray hair, by the way, it's not just gray, someone who actually has the wisdom of the Spirit, who is filled with the Orthodox phronema, this mindset, this practice, discernment, so that they can at least give some input. Now, their input might not be perfect, but at least maybe listen to them. And as you listen to them, maybe you will get some thoughts and say, let me humble myself for now. While I'm a young person in Orthodoxy, let me listen to them for a while and let me grow. When I have already listened to 10,000 hours of the fathers, maybe I have practiced the faith and I've been humble. Maybe I will have another spiritual father that will give me a guidance to move a little stronger in the faith in some other way. But meanwhile, I'm going to humble myself to those around me and I'm going to listen to them so that I don't lose the gift of discernment in my life. With that, I want to end today's study because I do have to go pick up Susan and Cherish very soon. But any comments or questions from today's studies? You can share it now or you can drop an email to us and ask it so we can get started to hopefully build this important, vital gift of discernment, the gift of the Holy Spirit, discretion, this ingratia into our lives in order to not fall either to one side or the other, to saying, I'm going to live a lascivious life, I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to enter the world, or I'm going to go to the extreme side and I'm going to think I'm going to be the next, saint that's on top of a big rock and I'm going to live there for 40 years. When we read these lives, it doesn't mean that's my call specifically, but I can appreciate the call of God on that specific saint. I can see how God worked in that person's life, and I can just say, let me learn. Let me not take it with jealousy. Let me not take it as that's my rule right away, but let me humble myself to the prayer rule I have now, which one of the prayer rules that we were trying to give as a guidance was, right now, just practice 1 minute a week, 1 minute a day, 1 minute a day, the Jesus prayer. Once you do, then try to set up a baseline for with a timer, seeing how long can you be still and know that He is God. Practice that, enter into His presence. And as you do, try to work with 30% of that time per day. If it's 20 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, fine. Just every day, be consistent entering the presence of God. Thank you for joining. I know we have a lot of people join. Some people were not able to make it till later. We are showing 28 participants right now, so it's a blessing to have all of you. And I hope this study has been helpful to at least get you to start thinking. And I really appreciate the discussions. And we will join again next week at 6:30 p.m., Lord willing, in this same Zoom call. Please follow up with Father Stephen and myself with any comments or questions.
Would you like